John chapter 4 this morning. 1 John chapter 4 this morning. Somebody in the church bought me a fan to put up here, and I'm very thankful for that. I don't have it installed yet, but I am going to get it put in this week, and I really appreciate that gesture, and that's going to help a lot. I just don't have it in yet. 1 John chapter 4, let's read the first six verses. It says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Dear Lord, one more time, we ask you to just help us to understand your word and change us by it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. For a person who likes to pull jokes and pranks and gags on people, and I don't just mean myself, I mean if you're a person like that, if you like to joke with people, if you like to cut up with people, you know the treasure of finding a gullible person. We love gullible people. Amy and I, for years, she's gotten so much better at it, but for years, when we first got married, we'd be going somewhere down the road and I would be telling her something, you know, just joking with her, and she would believe me, and then after so long, then finally she would say, are you telling the truth? Are you kidding? Did that really happen? Now I say, hey, I wanted to tell you something, and she just automatically turns away and rolls her eyes. You know, she doesn't even bother listening. Now she knows she has me figured out. Jokesters enjoy gullible people. We really enjoy gullible people that never learn, people that are eternally gullible. But you know, being gullible when it comes to the Bible, when it comes to religion, when it comes to scripture, when it comes to spiritual things, is absolutely unacceptable and dangerous. You cannot be, there might be a lot of things that you believe and people can trick you easily, but you better know what people say about the Bible. You better know if it's actually biblical, if it's really true or not. Because if I joke with you about something that happened or didn't happen and I'm just kidding with you, big deal. What's that going to do? You know, if I tell you some kind of joke and make it sound like it really happened to me and I trick you, we all just have a good laugh. That's not going to throw your life off course. That's not going to affect your relationship with your Savior. But somebody comes along with something that they say is biblical and it's not, and you believe everything that people say, you're going to be in a lot of trouble when it comes to your fellowship with the Savior and with other people if it's not based on Scripture. The last thing you want to be when it comes to the Word of God is gullible. You want to make sure that what people say to you lines up with Scripture. And not just that, but everything. This first verse says, "Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Let's deal with just that first verse for a few minutes here. We take, or we are to take, you should take, if you're a born-again believer, everything to God's Word. everything to the Scripture. Line it up and see what does Scripture say about this. And there's nothing that can happen to you that you can hear, that you can experience, that you can read. There is nothing that happens on the face of this earth that the Bible does not deal with. Some things the Bible deals with specifically, and it names things specifically, and other things it deals with in principle, but everything is dealt with in the Word of God. Adultery is dealt with specifically by name. Stealing is dealt with by name. Filthy and corrupt communication is dealt with by name. Say, well, Pastor, what do I do with things like the internet? It wasn't around back then. Television wasn't around back then. The principles of God deal with those things that aren't dealt with specifically by name. So everything is dealt with either by name or by principle. Now I want you to notice the wording here and understand what this means. It says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. This word try does not mean give it a whirl. It does not mean go out and live that way for a while. It does not mean that if a Mormon knocks on the door and invites you to their church, that you go see what it's like to be a Mormon for 6 or 7 months. I'm going to go to their church. I'm going to try this out. I'm going to give it a whirl. I'm going to practice it. That's not what this says. That's not what that means. It's not, hey, try this. Try that. I might offer you, you come to my house and I might offer you a pop or something that you've never had. And I say, try this flavor. That's not what this is talking about. This isn't saying, take all these things that people give you and take a big drink. Take a big bite of it. Give it a whirl. Run it around the block. That's not what this means. The word try here means to test. Test every single spirit and see, is that of God or is it not? It's the way that we use the word, like a basketball tryout. It's kind of like a test. You know, you're the coach, the tryout is really more for the coach. He's testing you to see if you can make the team, okay? When God tries you, this is a very trying time in my life. People say that was a very trying time. It means it tested me. It put me to the test. That's what this verse means. What he's saying is take all of these spirits, take all of these things that you're hearing and these religions and these philosophies and these ideas, and let's go even further. Let's take your own opinions. Let's take our own beliefs, our own feelings, everything, and test it to see if it lines up with God's Word. Not give it a whirl, not try it out, but put it to the test is what John is saying. He's saying put it to the test. This is a problem that people run into whenever they're looking for a church. And too often people give a church a whirl. Take it out for a spin. Go around the block in it. People will go to a church and they will go there for a few weeks and they'll see if it pleases them. Do I like that pastor or not? Do I like the way that he dresses? Do I like the way that he talks? Do I think he's too young? Do I think he's too old? Do I like the way those people dress or act around me? Do I like the way that church looks? Do I like the music? That's a big one today when people choose. Do I like their programs? Do they have stuff for my kids and I to do? I tell you, people that are looking for that don't come to Faith Baptist, and if they do, they don't stay long. You mean all you do here is preach the Bible? Yep. But they're trying it, they're giving it a test drive, a little run around the block and give it a whirl. And then they walk out, well, nah, they didn't like that, didn't care for it. Or it's, yeah, I really like that, that's what I'm looking for. And too often we're not looking for what we're supposed to be looking for. Now, someone who's looking for a church and who's obedient to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, will come into a church and say, does that pastor meet the biblical qualifications to be a pastor? Is this someone who should be, who I should be listening to? What is he preaching? What's that book he's preaching out of? Is he preaching out of the Bible or is he preaching out of some version? Could I have a copy of your doctrinal statement so I know what your church believes? Pastor, what does this church believe about the Trinity? What does this church believe about salvation? What do you believe about eternal security? What does this church believe about the tribulation and the rapture and all of these things? That is trying the spirits. That's testing it out. Do you believe what the Bible says? Do you preach that here? But too often, people don't ask those questions. And it really doesn't matter what's being preached up here as long as the rock band is playing every week. As long as it's making me feel good and I've got something for my kids to do, that's the only thing that matters. But we are to test everything. We are to test everything to see if it passes the biblical test, which is the only thing that matters. I know that not all of us have done this. Some people got saved later on in life after they were saved. Some people got saved later on in life after they were married. Some people maybe were saved when they got married, but they weren't in a good Bible-preaching church and their beliefs were wrong. But if you are saved and you're in a Bible-preaching church and your doctrine is right, you ought to try your future spouse and see if they line up with the Word of God. You ought to try and say, is this someone that I should be marrying and spending my life with? Look, the point is this, test everything by the Word of God. And by the way, if you're saved and they're not, you've got no business getting married. Because the unequal yoke has to do with marriage, it has to do with church fellowship, it has to do with everything. And this idea of, well, I'll probably lead them to Christ and they might lead you back into carnality. And they have a greater chance of leading you back into carnality than you have to lead them into Christ. So we test everything by the Word of God. Look why it says, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Why do we have to take everything to God's Word? Because there's so much out there that would lie to us and try to trick us and take us away. Look, false religion does not exist just to stop sinners from being saved. It also exists to get saved people off track doctrinally and out of service for God. Because if you're saved, the devil can't do anything about that. If you're saved, the devil can't do anything about that. But you know what the devil can do? If he can ruin your witness, if he can ruin your influence, if he can stop you from being profitable, if he can stop you from preaching the gospel and witnessing to somebody else, he'll absolutely do it. He'll take it. Can't get your soul, you're already saved. What's the next best thing? Keep you from leading somebody else to Christ. Can't get you, can't get your soul, what's the next best thing? Get you in a church that's all mixed up and preaching the wrong doctrine so that you're not a profitable Christian. So we have to test everything. All roads do not lead to Christ. All churches are not just the same as the next one. All beliefs do not teach the same thing. And the end result is not the same. I had someone that I used to work with tell me one time, you know, I just think that when the Indians would worship their sun gods and everything, they're worshiping God, that's just their way. No, they're not. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, is what he said. not worship the sun god as though it were me. No, all these roads do not lead to Christ. And any road and any way that's not Jesus Christ is not the Bible. And we're to throw it out. We're to test everything by the Word of God. The world is full of false teachings. This passage specifically deals with one characteristic. Whether or not people confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. It says here, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world." Okay? There's a test given here. And this is the absolute definitive, I guess we could call it the acid test, when it comes to religions of the world. And here's what it all boils down to. Who do they say Jesus Christ is? That's what it all boils down to. When somebody has some kind of belief, you get to that and you're at the heart of the matter. Who do they say Jesus Christ is? Now, a lot of people will say, see, we have to take Scripture as a whole. A lot of people will say, yeah, there was a man named Jesus Christ. But he wasn't the Son of God. He was just a good teacher. He was just a prophet. He was this. He was that. He was whatever. Yeah, we admit, we agree, there was somebody named Jesus Christ that lived. Yeah, we agree with that. That's not what this is talking about. You want clarification? Go back to chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. John isn't saying anybody that says, yeah, a man named Jesus lived, and they're of God. No, you got to take all of Scripture as a whole. What's everything say? Back in chapter 2, find verse, what is it, 22? 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So what are we to watch for? Who do they say Jesus Christ is? Well, they say they believe that there was a man named Jesus. That's not the same as confessing Jesus and believing on Jesus. Lots of people believe there was a man named Jesus that lived on this earth. And they're not of God. Because they also believe, well, he wasn't the Son of God. He wasn't the Messiah. He wasn't divine. He wasn't deity. He was just a really good man. Really? Because if he wasn't the Son of God, then he wasn't a good man because he lied if he wasn't the Son of God. Because he made himself equal with the Father, and he said he was the Son of God. And if he wasn't, that means he lied, and liars aren't good people. Well, he was just a really good teacher. Really? If he claimed to be God and he wasn't, then he was insane. He was crazy. I'll prove it to you. Remember back in the 90s, remember Waco, Texas, David Koresh, Branch Davidians? He claimed he was Christ. And the list goes on and on and on. There's always people claiming, oh, I'm Son of God. There was a guy out in Idaho, Iowa, somewhere out in there, Utah. I think it was maybe Idaho, and I forget his name, but he had this little compound, and he was teaching these people that he was the Christ, and God was going to change him on some night in October or something, and this film crew showed up to see it, and nothing happened, and these people just kept following him. And then he ended up in jail for other things that he had done. Who do they say Christ is? Not just that a man named Jesus lived, but do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God? Big difference. Big difference. A lot of people out there, outside of the Bible, there's all kinds of historical and archaeological evidence. You can't deny that a man named Jesus lived. Only an idiot would deny that. But they don't want to believe what this says about him. yeah, we believe a man named Jesus lived, we just don't believe he was the Son of God, then you're Antichrist. You are anti-Christ because you are denying that Jesus is the Christ. You have to take Scripture as a whole. This world is full of religions. And as I said before, this notion that they're all basically correct, it's a lie. It's a lie. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 19. We test everything by the Word of God. If it doesn't line up, we throw it out. We don't try to figure it out. We don't try to justify it. We just throw it out. Isaiah 8. And 19. There's a principle here that we need to apply. When they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? So hey, when there are people out there saying, let's go find us a sorcerer or a wizard or somebody like that, God is saying through the prophet, why aren't you turning to me? When they're out there looking for all this stuff, why aren't you turning to me, the source of all truth? Okay, isn't that what you ought to do? Shouldn't you, when people go looking for all these answers and reasons, shouldn't you go to God and the Bible before anything else? Okay, now look, in verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, God's word, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. If they don't agree with this, then they're not of this. If they don't agree with what this says about God and His Son and the Holy Spirit and salvation, they're not of this. They're of the world. Now, the world will listen to them. Acts 17. Acts 17. We read about a group of people. And here's a group we ought to join. Here's a group we need to be a part of. And it's not the Elks, and it's not the Masons, and it's not the Brotherhood of whatever they have now. Here's the group we all need to be a part of. Pardon me. Acts 17, verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. There's this group of people in Berea. And Paul and Silas, they get up and preach. And these men said, let's look and see if that's right. All right, that matches. First thing you want to be when you... Okay. If you bring nothing else into this church, okay? Purses, cell phones, gifts for other people, whatever. All that stuff's fine. As long as the phones are turned off, all that stuff's fine. Fine. But if you're going to walk through that door with one thing in your hand, it better be this book right here. I know we've got some in the pews, but you've got one too. Bring your Bible. Bring your Bible for a few reasons. You will learn it better if you're reading it along with us. You'll be able to mark things to go back and read later and reminders. But here's the most important reason why you need to have this in your hand. And I'm telling you, there are churches out there, I've seen them, I've visited them, where nobody comes through the door with a Bible. And they might even have some pew Bibles and nobody picks them up. And their ministers don't even preach out of the Bible. Oh, they'll quote a verse and then tell a story. Here's why you need to have your Bible open and on your lap while I'm preaching, or Brother Tracy's preaching, or Brother Steve's preaching, or whatever the case may be. So that while we're reading it and we're preaching it, you can be right here checking. And you know what? If you'll do that, if you'll do that, not that I would ever try to trick you, but nobody will be able to trick you if you're, all right, I see it. I would never try to trick you, folks, but you know what I am capable of doing? I'm human. I can read words incorrectly, especially with my eye, you know. I can read things incorrectly, say something the wrong way, misquote something. You need to be right here. Is that right? I've encouraged this church from the very first day that I came here. I have encouraged this church. You keep your Bibles open and don't you dare take my word for it. You check everything that I say. You read along with me. You follow along with me. I don't ever want anybody from Faith Baptist Church to be in a conversation with somebody and say, well, our pastor says. Well, our pastor teaches us. Our pastor, I mean, it's one thing to say pastor was preaching on or pastor explained it in this way, but I want the people of Faith Baptist Church to say, thus saith the Lord. Well, you just believe that because your pastor said, yeah, our pastor preaches that, but we checked it and made sure that what he was preaching was right. I want people of this church to be able to say, no, I didn't get that from my pastor. My pastor preached on that, but I've read it for myself too. That's what the Bereans did. Went back and checked everything. Is that right? Is that biblical? Is this attitude that I'm having right? Not just the preaching, but everything that comes into our lives. Should I be doing that? Should I be having this attitude? You see, there are all these things out there that we buy into and we go along with just because we've heard them our whole lives, and we don't go to the Scripture to see if it exists. Follow your heart. Every Hallmark movie ever made. Follow your heart. Well, it sounds good, doesn't it? It's in the music, it's in the movies, it's in the magazines, it's in the books, it's not in the Bible. The Bible says your heart is deceitful and it's desperately wicked. Don't follow anything that has that description tagged to it. You can't follow your heart unless your heart is following God, is what the Bible teaches us. Feel good about yourself. You need good self-esteem. You need to really take pride in yourself. What sounds good, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound like it's something that would build us up, that would, boy, that's, yeah. Boy, I need to just really feel good about myself. Except when we go to the Scripture, and as I said in Sunday school, John the Baptist said, Christ must increase, I must decrease. Humble thyselves in the sight of the Lord. O wretched man that I am, Paul said. Life is all about Christ. It has nothing to do with me. The smaller I am, the greater God is in my eyes. The Bereans took everything to God's word. But too often Christians, I mean saved people, believe something because it sounds good, or it feels right, or it even sounds biblical. I mean, doesn't judge not lest ye be judged? Doesn't that sound like Scripture? I mean, who uses the word lest nowadays? That's a Bible word, really, except the Bible doesn't say that. People all the time, well, if a man, what's the other one? God takes care of those that take care of themselves. That's not Bible either. The Bible does tell us to work, and if a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. That's true. But you see, salvation is Christ taking care of us because we can't take care of ourselves. I couldn't save myself. I needed Him. This might sound good. It might feel good. But is it good? Is it true? Take it to the Bible and find out. Let me give you some. No, we're going to look these up. We've got time. We've got time. I still got a half an hour, 45 minutes, so. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We take everything to God's word, and specifically in 1 John, what's he telling us? What do they say about Jesus Christ? So church, walk out of here today with this. take everything to God's word. Check everything with God's word. Test everything with God's word. And when it comes to religions and beliefs, specifically, who do they say Jesus Christ is? Because if they don't believe that Jesus came in the flesh and that he was the only begotten Son of God, there's no light in them. And they are of the world and they're not of God. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4 and find verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have done well. You have well done. See? See how I just flipped those words by accident? Didn't mean to. You got to be following. Well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, am I in the right book? I'm in Philippians. Well, I'm reading it thinking, why did I pick this? This isn't the right verse. And I hear whisperings. Yeah, I know. See?
That was a test.
That was a test. Those of you whispering passed. Good job. You see what I mean? Right there, you got to be following. I'm reading that going, that's not talking about winds of doctrine. That's not right. And I heard, psh, 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 psh. Ephesians 4. 14. That looks better. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. That's what the world does. He's saying don't follow every little wind, every little book that comes out, every little way, every little prayer of Jabez. That, you know, they had this thing, prayer of Jabez was everywhere. It was a fad. Every little bitty thing. Don't quit listening to all that stuff and stay with the Bible. Quit reading all that junk that claims to be about the Bible. I get so tired of hearing Christians say, have you read The Shack? Have you seen Heaven is for Real or whatever? No, because it doesn't line up with the Bible. Because this is enough for me to understand. Yeah, but it's all about God. No, it isn't. It might be about a God, but it's not about God because it doesn't line up with this. And this says that if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. Okay? But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. How are you going to grow and be a good Christian if you're in all that garbage and not in the Bible? From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You see, we're not blind if we're saved, so why listen to that garbage? Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. So Paul is saying, don't listen to that stuff the world is constantly telling you. Listen to the Word of God. It might sound scriptural. It doesn't mean that it is. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 16. I get so tired of reading obituaries. Everybody's an angel looking down from heaven now. Where is that? That's not Bible. People don't turn into angels. Angels are created beings that carry out God's work for Him. They're ministering spirits. Nobody in the Bible ever turned into an angel. Oh, he's looking down. No, he's not. If he is, he's miserable and it's not heaven. How could it be heaven if you could look down and see all this sin and distress and see that your loved one is dying of cancer and that one just got divorced and that one just got in a car wreck and that one just lost its job? Lost their job, sorry. How could you? That's not heaven. The Bible doesn't say you turn into an angel or you look down from heaven and see what's going on with people. Some kind of heaven. But people, oh, I know, how about this one? That was my husband's favorite song, and every time they sing it, I feel his spirit. No, that's creepy. If he's saved, his spirit and his soul are in heaven. You might feel comfort. You might have a good memory, but you're not feeling the spirit of your deceased loved one. That's not biblical. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. For we have not followed, and here's what the religions of the world are, cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He said, we didn't make this up. Okay, we saw this, we witnessed it, we recorded it, it's the word of God. This isn't a cunningly devised fable. That's what the religions of the world are. And you won't know that if you don't test it with God's word. One more passage, 2 Timothy chapter 3. You remember about a month or so ago, probably been a couple months, when I was talking about that Bible version that took out the inclusive Bible, took out all the he and she and made everything neutral. I wonder what this passage says. 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 through 7. I wonder what this says, because this talks about silly women. I wonder what the inclusive version changes this one to. It says, the Bible says, this 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Hey, everybody's got an In God We Trust license plate, don't they? You ever realize how many of those are on the road? Not on Sunday morning when it's time to go to church, though, is it? The roads are empty. Those cars are parked at home. Yeah, you might have In God We Trust on the license plate. What's that mean? Nothing. While your car is parked down at the bar. I saw a vehicle one time. I won't tell you what it had on it, but it had something really disgusting on the back windshield. And it was a business that this person was a part of. Just vile that they would even advertise a business like this. In God We Trust license plate. How about, can you still get the Masonic license plate with a little Masonic Lodge emblem on it? Church parking lots full of license plates with Masonic Lodges on them. Masonic Lodge is one of the most hellish, demonistic, heathen things. So you can preach that in Indiana, you preach that down in Alabama, and 90% of the church leaves there. The Masonic Lodge is bigger down church, but it's up here too. It's up here too. I've been in churches and in parking lots, and you see those things on. What's going on here? What's going on? A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Look, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So it compares people that go along with this with silly people, silly women who don't know any better and who just go along with everything and who are so covered in sins, they'll just believe anything that comes down the pipe. You want to be the silly women of the Bible? I'm talking to all of us. I know it says silly women, but this principle applies to all of us. You want to be like someone who just believes everything that comes along and believes every little thing? You want to be so laden with sin that you can't recognize righteousness whenever you see it? Take everything to the Bible and you won't be like these silly women. Take everything to the Bible and you'll be a Berean and you'll understand. And that's what we're told to do. So there is this test. There is this test. Who do they say Jesus is? And you hear about these beliefs and these religions, who do they say Jesus is? Because you're going to notice two things about cults and false religions and things like that. You're going to notice two things. And when I say this, most of you are going to know exactly what I'm talking about. When you find a cult, when you find a world religion or something like that, you're going to notice, one, they deny that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. And two, there is almost always some type of sexual perversion in what they believe. Again, Jim Jones, said a lot of stuff about him that most people don't know. You read about him, the man was disgusting. And it was a perversion. David Koresh, down in Waco, perversion. Mormonism teaches that if you're a good Mormon, you will be given your own planet after this life, and you'll be a god, and you'll have 10 virgin wives with which to populate the planet. That's perversion. Let me go a step further and tell you what Mormonism believes. Mormonism believes Jesus and Lucifer were brothers, and they went before this heavenly council and pleaded their cause about why each one of them should be the savior of the world. And the council voted that Jesus would be the savior, and that's why Lucifer got mad and rebelled. Is that who the Bible says Jesus is? Nope. But that's not what I was getting at. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and she conceived. Mormonism teaches that God has a physical body and that He actually had marital relations with Mary so that she would conceive Jesus. Kind of does away with the virgin birth, doesn't it? It's filth. It's perversion. They'll deny who Jesus is, and there'll almost always be some kind of perversion in there somewhere in these false religions. What does the Bible tell us? What does the Bible tell us about Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is God. That's what the Bible tells us. We read already in 1 John. They have to admit that Jesus came in the flesh, and they have to admit who He is. I'd like to read something to you here. And I'll tell you why I'm reading this here in just a minute. Well, I'll tell you why I'm reading this right now. When you go to work, when you go to school, when you go to family reunions, you're going to talk to people that believe some of this stuff or bits and pieces of this. You ever heard of Christian Science? Mary Baker Eddy was the woman that started this religion, and she believed that if you followed these whatever tenets, you could have perfect physical healing. Christian Science is not the same thing as Scientology, which is also a heathenistic religion, but Christian Science, it's still around. Church of Christ of Science or Church of Science, they're still around. Mary Baker Eddy started that church. Here's what she said. Should we go to a Christian Science church? Well, what did Mary Baker Eddy say? She said, Jesus Christ is not God, as Jesus Himself declared, but is the Son of God. You're a liar, Mary Baker Eddy. You're a liar. I don't know what this thing is, the Divine Life Society, but it's some kind of yoga institute is what it says here. By the way, yoga is not just stretching and exercises. It's a religion, and it's heathenism. People say, well, what about Christian yoga? There's no such thing. Okay? There's no such thing. It's like Christian rock, Christian heavy metal. Is yoga so bad? Well, let's listen to what some of their people say. You know what they call them? They call them yogis. They do. The leaders of these New Age and yoga things, they're like, they don't have pastors and preachers, they have yogis. I'm sorry, but I can't hear that without picturing being in one of their meetings and, hey, boo boo boy, hey, picnic basket. How would you call yourself a yogi and somebody take you seriously, you know? But if you're a baseball fan, that takes on a whole new meaning. Here's what one of them said. Remember that Christ is not a person, it's an experience, Christhood. Like Nirvana or Buddha, it's an experience. No, that's not what the Bible says. You're a liar. Remember the Krishnas. We were talking about the Krishnas this weekend. Remember Hare Krishna or however? You know, George Harrison, the Beatle that went on and made that song where they sing Hallelujah in the background, and by the end of the song they're saying Hare Krishna. Okay? Christ's claim to be the only Son of God is often misunderstood. When Jesus Christ taught his doctrine in the Middle East, he appeared to be God's only son, a pure devotee. But why should God have only one son? He doesn't. I'm one of his sons. If you're saved, you are. But he has only one begotten son, and that's deity. That's Jesus Christ. That's virgin birth. Each and every one can be his only son. No, you can't. Because he has a lot of sons, but only one begotten son. Jehovah's Witnesses, Charles Taze Russell is the man that started that religion. He said this, the incarnation, by the way, he was a teenager when he started that church. The incarnation is scripturally erroneous. Indeed, if he, Christ, had been an incarnate being, he could never have redeemed mankind. The only way he could redeem mankind was if he became a man and still continued to be God. There's a thing here about the Masons. I'm not going to read that because it's real long, but it talks about them denying Jesus Christ. I will read this. It says they believe Jesus was just a man, and they exclude him. Freemasonry carefully excludes the Lord Jesus Christ from the lodge and chapter. They ignore the Holy Spirit. Mormonism. Christ is the firstborn spirit God in the eternal family, and while yet in preexistence, he advanced and progressed and became like the Father in power and intelligence. That is, he became a God. That's Mormonism. That's out of Joseph Smith's own mouth right there. Okay? I'm just being selective here. Oh, how about this one? Something called New Thought. We revere Jesus the man as one who exemplified the great principle of perfection and holiness. A lot of them say that. Jesus was a way shower, the Savior, in the sense that he drew us out of our limitations. They capitalize way shower. Go to the Church of Science, go to their website and read what they believe. Mary Baker Eddy called Jesus a way shower. It's the same thing that New Age people call him. Okay? Scientology. That's big in Hollywood, isn't it? Every time you turn around, some actor is a Scientologist now. Neither Lord Buddha nor Jesus Christ, why'd they call Buddha Lord and not Jesus Christ? Were what they call Operation Theotons or enlightened beings. According to the evidence, they were just a shade above clear. And what clear means in Scientology is this: relatively low on the scale of spiritual advancement. So Jesus wasn't deity. He was just barely above the very bottom rung. Now, I just have a couple more that I want to share with you. There was a woman by the name of Helena Blavatsky. And maybe you've never heard of Helena Blavatsky. But Helena Blavatsky was a heretic who believed that Jesus and Lucifer, or that Jesus was not the Messiah, that Lucifer was. You say, well, Pastor, we wouldn't listen to that. If you've got an NIV in your lap or one of those other modern versions, you've got a book influenced by her that's telling you the same thing. Westcott and Hort were two men that put together their own translation of the New Testament. They didn't use the Textus Receptus that the King James Bible is translated from. They put together their own. They were directly influenced by Madame Blavatsky. And in the NIV, it refers to Lucifer as being the Savior. Okay? And I wasn't planning on bringing these verses up specifically. It's in Isaiah, should be chapter 7 or chapter 14, and I can find it for you later. But when it talks about Lucifer falling from heaven, it refers to him as the same name given to Christ in Revelation. Bibles are influenced, these versions are influenced by Madame Blavatsky. Here's what she said. Nowhere throughout the New Testament is Jesus found calling himself God, except for all those times that he did, or anything higher than a son of God, the son of a father common to all. Unitarian Universalism, what's that? Well, there's one down on Fruit Ridge. There's one everywhere. Unitarian Universalist minister something Argo teaches, they do not regard him as a supernatural creature, the literal son of God who was miraculously sent to earth as an involved plan for the salvation of human souls. Here's another yoga thing. What is Christ? St. Simeon, the new theologian, wrote, I move my hand and Christ moves. Who is my hand? That makes sense. And then finally, Zen Buddhism. You hear the word Zen a lot. Who is Jesus? He has no name. And Jesus declares, split wood, I am there. Lift up the stone and you will find me there. According to what we just looked at in Scripture this morning, are any of these religions biblical? Not a single one of them, because every one of them denies Jesus Christ, who he is. Oh, they all agree there was a man named Jesus Christ that lived. They deny who the Bible says that he is. And in verses 4 through 6 of our text this morning, we're told the world doesn't listen because they're not of God. And if somebody's of God and you're of God, you're going to listen to one another, and the world's going to listen to itself. They're not going to listen to you. Now, we keep preaching them the gospel. We keep preaching them the gospel in hopes that they'll listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But here's the thing, church. Even though they're all the, and I wanted to point some of these things out because you work with people who, even if they don't belong to these churches, they have some of these beliefs. You're going to have somebody come to church that you're going to have somebody come to work that you've been inviting, and they're going to have to, they're going to be trying to decide between whether or not to come visit your church or to go visit the church of the Mormons that have been visiting every couple of weeks at the front door, or the Jehovah's Witnesses. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Okay? It all comes down to who they say Jesus Christ is. And here's what the Bible says in verse 6. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. What do we do in light of all of this? Well, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Remember that hymn, stand up, stand up for Jesus. When the religions of the world and the thoughts of the world and the philosophies try to deny who he is, we continue to preach the truth and hold the banner high and proclaim Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He's God. He's the Son of God. He's the only begotten Son of God. And anyone that does not speak according to that, it's because there is no light in them. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and what you've taught us, Lord, and I pray that we would take this. And Lord, even if this is a truth that we all understand and have a handle on, help us to understand that as we go out and witness to people, these are the things we're going to be confronted with. That we're going to find people who have had these other religions and cults and philosophies put into their mind. We're going to find people who, maybe if they haven't heard any of this, they've come up with their own ideas and opinions on who God is. And help us to emphatically proclaim your word that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son, that he's the Son of Man and the Son of God, and the only way for a person to be saved if they would repent and put their faith and trust in him alone. Help us to declare that truth and stand up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.